good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll speak with Joe Salazar, former state representative, but an attorney as well, and he's currently representing Detlev Helmig, who was fired from the University of Colorado in Boulder, and it has prompted a lot of local outrage. Detlev Helmig was doing and continues to do air quality research in municipalities along the Front Range. We'll hear from Joe Salazar about their efforts to get documentation from the university over the firing of Professor Helmig. After that, we'll hear a snippet of a conversation with Robert Reich, former Labour Secretary. He has a brand new book out. It's called The System, Who Rigged It and How We Fix It. We'll hear an extended conversation with Robert Reich this evening on It's the Economy, but we'll hear a preview later this morning. John Lendorf joins us live from his kitchen for Radio Nibbles. Then, after headlines from the BBC at the bottom of the hour, it's time for another in our ongoing series looking at end-of-life issues. And today we'll look at how death and dying has changed so much in the COVID-19 pandemic, but how lessons learned from the end-of-life preparation movement can help us navigate this system. Of course, your calls will be welcome. Then at 9:30, Kerry's in for another morning of great music on the Morning Sound Alternative. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. State health officials say that hospitalizations and deaths from the new coronavirus hit their highest level so far in the first 2 weeks of April. However, they caution that there could be another surge and they encourage ongoing social distancing. April 9th was the day that the state recorded its highest number of coronavirus deaths. That was 35. So far, the official total of people who have died from the virus is at 921. Speaking on Wednesday afternoon, Governor Jared Polis said that it is extremely likely that the coronavirus has been circulating in Colorado long before the first official case was actually confirmed. Governor Polis reiterated the need for people to only go out in public when needed, to wear a mask in public and to maintain social distancing. As the state transitions into the safer at home phase, Governor Polis said that people should significantly reduce their personal contacts with other people. He said people should just have a third of the social interactions that they would have had in January of this year. Nearly 160 CU Boulder employees, including faculty and graduate students, have signed a letter to the Board of Regents calling on them to rescind $200,000 in bonuses for President Mark Kennedy. He is scheduled to receive those bonuses for completing tasks during his first year on the job. The Daily Camera reports that Kennedy's contract lists the $200,000 as, quote, incentive salary, and quote, for attaining performance objectives. And it's a separate section from his $650,000 base salary. Overall, he'll be paid an $850,000 salary after his first year, according to the contract. The performance objectives outlined include the initiation of a strategic planning process, engaging in outreach efforts to rural communities, engaging in outreach with government leaders, donors and alumni, and initiating a diversity and inclusion campaign. The letter from the 159 employees of the university comes as the college is grappling with projected massive budget shortfalls due to the coronavirus pandemic. The university is preparing for up to 20% in budget cuts due to the possibility of declining revenue and enrollment. This could result in programs being eliminated, staff being laid off and furloughed, and pay being reduced. Kennedy has pledged to use $50,000 of his bonus to create a scholarship fund for rural and first-generation students and to cut his $850,000 salary by 10% next year in response to the ongoing budget issues. The letter from faculty, staff and graduate students asked that Kennedy and other CU officials who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, that they're asking that they take progressive salary cuts of 25% or more. Unemployment claims are continuing to come in the state of Colorado. The state labor department reported this week that more than 28,000 people filed initial unemployment claims last week. That is a reduction from the last full week in April. That saw more than 38,000 initial claims filed. All of the top 7 weeks for unemployment claims in state's history have come since March 8th. And in the weather today, sunny and windy, leading to a red flag warning. There could be some very strong gusts around the Front Range. Highs today in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, the winds should be dying down and mostly sunny skies in the forecast for Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Highs in the mid-60s. It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. Detlev Helmig was an associate research professor and research scientist at the Institute of Alpine and Arctic Research, or INSTAR, at CU Boulder. And he's been conducting air quality research at Boulder Reservoir, focusing on emissions from the oil and gas industry. However, in April, he was fired from the university. This has prompted several local organisations, as well as members of the public and local elected officials, to weigh in and ask the university why Dr. Helmig was fired. Now, an attorney for Dr. Helmig has fired a request for papers, as well as other organisations like 350 Colorado. KGNU has reached out to Professor Helmig to ask him to come on and share his side of the story. He said he's still waiting to get papers from the university before he would like to talk about this publicly. However, his attorney did talk to KGNU, and that's Joe Salazar, a former state representative. He also works with Colorado Rising. However, Joe Salazar is representing Detlev Helmig in his private attorney practice.
So he's terminated from the university as of the beginning of April. And it should be a very serious concern for everyone that the very first media outlet that the university turned to in order to crow about Detlev's termination is the Western Wire, which is an industry-funded media group. And I think that that's extremely telling. And also, the university is famously known for keeping personnel matters away from the press. In fact, when the press asks questions about personnel matters, the university pivots and says, this is a personnel matter, we can't talk about it. But then they turn around and openly target Detlev and talk to this industry-funded media group in order to basically defame him and to hurt his reputation. It's been just a really disgusting display from this university.
So what was the reason given by the university for his termination?
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to at the university. We've gotten a number of answers or responses at this point. But basically what they're saying is that that he was misusing equipment. The university has known for at least 2 years that Detlev has his own company, and they were okay with that. All the paperwork was filed correctly to advise the university that he has his own venture. In fact, many of the professors at the University of Colorado have their own ventures, and even CU's policy encourages professors to have their own ventures, their own businesses, and to engage in community and things of that nature. And so they said, well, you know, you're misusing equipment. But there are even emails there where Detlev is like, look, I want to either rent or buy the equipment. And the university is saying, okay, you can either rent or buy it. And now they turn around after Detlev has been renting and buying the equipment. They turn around and make this allegation that he was misusing equipment. So we actually don't know what the real story is from the university, and we're waiting for documents from the university to reveal exactly what happened. It is my understanding that the decision was made at the, quote, highest level at CU, and I can only imagine that the highest level means the president of CU.
Give our listeners a sense of the work that Detlef Helmig has been engaged in over the past few years, particularly as it pertains to air quality and its relationship to the oil and gas industry.
Sure. So Detlef, you know, Detlef doesn't really have a dog in this fight, right? I mean, he wants to see what our air quality is like, and he has monitors out in Boulder, he has monitors in Longmont, he has monitors in Broomfield, because he wants to monitor what the air quality is like in basically what is known as the frack zone. Is there actual evidence to show that fracking harms our air quality, and what are the particulates in the air that are being spewed by the industry? Because the industry is always talking about, oh, we're not doing anything to air quality. We're the most perfect creatures on the planet. We're the best industry partners out there. And so scientists are saying, let's check. And that's what Detlef has been doing. And Detlef's peer-reviewed analysis has demonstrated that the oil and gas industry has been lying to the public for God knows how many years. It is showing that the industry is spewing contaminants into the air and causing a disruption in clean air. The industry doesn't like that, right? So they're going to go after Detlef because of what his studies are showing. It's revealing that the industry, which we should all know, has been lying to us for many years. And so that's why Detlef's his study, his research is really super important, because he's doing this objectively, and it's all peer-reviewed. His findings are concrete. They are foundational. And the industry is trying to question his studies and his findings, but they can't do that, right? So terminating him gives them at least an inroads to at least try to discredit his reputation, and we just don't think that's going to work.
So you're saying that it is industry pressure on the university that has led to the termination of Detlef Helmig?
You know, all we have to go off of at this point is theories, because the university has not responded. I filed my CORA request, I want to say, nearly 2 weeks ago, and it has been just one excuse after another from the university to fulfill those requests. I asked for a meeting with them on Monday and said I'm available on Monday to talk about these requests. Didn't get any response until 4:57 in the afternoon on Monday, where they said, oh, that's great, let's sit down and meet. So then I filed another response to them saying, great, I'm available on Wednesday and Thursday, and nothing from them. So it's just been one bottleneck, one obstacle after another, and they're coming very close to us filing a show cause order in the district court to explain why they are delaying the way that they're delaying.
What about the research that Detlef Helmig then has been doing and continues to do around the Front Range? Because he does have his own company as well, and I know that he has been engaged by local municipalities for air quality. What is the status of the research, the data that he's already collected, and what's the status of his work now going forward?
So that data is owned by those municipalities. It's not owned by the University of Colorado. And so that data, it remains safe. From what we know, that data remains safe. We have asked for explanation as to where that data is at. And once again, we're still waiting from the university for the university to answer that question. But, you know, Detlef is still working with those municipalities. And I should also note, too, that CU has complained that Detlef has these private contracts with these municipalities. But there are actual emails from these municipalities that say, we don't want to engage CU at all because of the bureaucracy. We just want to engage your company. And so that's what the local government wanted, and that's what Detlef was able to provide. So, you know, the university being upset that Detlef has these contracts with these local municipalities is because, well, CU is a real sucky bureaucracy.
Until you have your CORA request that you submitted 2 weeks ago, until that has been responded to by the university, you know, you don't right now have access to that documentation. Is there anything that can be done in the meantime, or is that just, are you in just a holding pattern? I mean, there is a time frame, there is a legal framework around when CORA requests must be answered.
Yeah. So, right, it's three business days, and then they can extend it out to seven business days. I think their seventh business day is coming up. I'll have to double check, but I think it's on Friday. And then after that, then I can file in the district court and force CU to respond to the court as to why they haven't fulfilled the request. They say that our requests are just too overly broad, but oh my God, we narrowed these requests down to individuals and dates in order to provide us this information. We asked for very specific information from Ms. Perez, who is now the communications director from the university, as to who she spoke with in the media from April 1st until present date. I mean, that's easy information to gather. And they're saying, oh, this is just too broad. Oh, and besides that, you should put it in this format, right? And we don't, people who ask for documents through CORA don't have to follow the format of the public entity. But CU is trying to say that, you know, we have to follow their format, and that's just ridiculous. So they're stalling. If they're not careful, once that deadline runs out, we're going to go to court. And it's my understanding that they've lost in court within the past year for making things difficult for requesters.
There are many listeners who are very concerned about this current situation. You know, how can they keep abreast of what's happening? What's the best way for people to follow the story, I suppose?
So there are a lot of organizations out there who are really upset with Detlev's termination. 350 Colorado, Be the Change, and a number of other organizations are doing basically like a CU watch, right? And they're asking questions from CU, asking them to provide information. And those are really great organizations to follow. I'll be posting on Facebook, although I typically don't like asking or I don't like posting about my legal cases on my Facebook page. This one is of public interest, so I'll be providing that information on my Facebook page, that's the best way to get involved. You know, I know that some of the nonprofit organizations are now starting to elevate this concern to the regents as well as to the governor. I saw some information on that not too long ago, and the legislature. And if you want to get involved in those efforts, you can certainly get involved in those efforts. That's a person's private decision to make, and that's the best way to get involved. But I'll tell you that nothing good has come out of this about this termination. Detlev did not have a dog in this fight. He was reporting and he was studying. He was researching on an objective scientific basis, and his findings were consistent with the fact that the oil and gas industry is polluting our air.
And of course, his work continues. And it does seem that in this current pandemic, this is actually an opportunity to really gather some important data when we are seeing less traffic and we are seeing less industry, albeit not less oil and gas industry, that this is actually a really important time for air quality research right now.
Oh, it absolutely is. As I said, he's still monitoring. And so, that data, I'm sure, will be coming out soon enough. Another important point to make, Maeve, is there was a reporter out of Longmont who reported for the Longmont Times Call as well as the Daily Camera. And he published an article in the Daily Camera talking about air quality and what was happening now. Now that we don't have as much traffic on the roads, things of that nature. And the oil and gas industry filed a cease and desist with the Daily Camera, which then prompted the Daily Camera to fire that journalist. So it's astounding to me how it's astounding to me how bold this industry is being right now and basically facilitating the termination of a respected reporter, because that reporter had the audacity to continue reporting about the oil and gas industry and about its adverse effects on air quality. This thing is going to go a lot deeper than what any of us knows. And once we get to the bottom of it, We'll certainly keep in touch.
But in the meantime, Joe Salazar, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And Joe Salazar is representing Detlev Helmig through his private law practice. It is 8:25. You're listening to KGNU. Well, former Labour Secretary Robert Wright has a new book out. It's called The System, Who Rigged It and How We Fix It.
Remember, the banks now are getting essentially free money. I mean, the Fed is buying back debts, including bank debt. The banks are not paying a penny for the money they have. Why shouldn't they basically cancel the payments that people are supposed to be making to them and really give everybody that kind of a holiday? But remember, these were the same big banks that changed bankruptcy laws in the early part of the century, in the year 2005, and then in subsequent years, the big banks made it harder for students to declare bankruptcy and reorganize student debt in bankruptcy, former students. The big banks made it impossible for homeowners to reorganize their mortgage payments, their debts in bankruptcy. Once we got to the big financial crisis of 2008, the big banks, once again, they changed the laws. They changed bankruptcy laws, making it almost impossible to get out from under a mortgage debt. So what do you expect? I mean, these big banks have become bigger and bigger and more powerful. They got bailed out, and they are now too big to fail.
That's Robert Wright. His new book is The System Who Rigged It, How We Fix It. And he'll be in conversation this evening with KGNU's Liz Lane. Tune in this evening at 6 o'clock for It's the Economy for an extended conversation with Robert Wright. And they're going to be talking about the current federal bailout, how it benefits corporations and some of the other systemic issues that we are seeing playing out right now through the pandemic. Tune in this evening at 6. It is 8:27 and it's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy.
Everybody eats on Thursday mornings. John Lendorf joining us live over a cup of coffee from his home kitchen in Louisville. Good morning, John. Lots of good local food news to catch up on this week.
Good morning, Maeve. Yeah, I thought we all deserved some positive update.
There are some local restaurants that are opening back up again as we are transitioning into a new phase and are going to be offering delivery and takeout now, albeit that restaurants are still not allowed to have diners into their facilities and to their establishments. There are some new options now that will become available for dining out and takeout.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch more restaurants that weren't open or are opening this week for takeout and delivery. Including Tiffin's India Cafe, and also the Ska Brewstillery in Boulder, which was only open for, I think, a couple of hours before it got shut down. So they're happy to be open again. And the other thing is that the governor has extended the alcohol-to-go delivery option for an additional 30 days.
Well, some really good national news for a local restaurant. The National James Beard Awards for 2020 were, the finalists rather, were announced, and a local contender in there.
Yeah, a perennial contender, even though, you know, all these restaurants are closed, but Boulder's Frasca is up for Outstanding Restaurant in the Nation again. And three local women chefs are among the finalists for the new Best Chef Mountain category. Carrie Baird, Caroline Glover, and Dana Rodriguez, along with Boulder chef Kelly Whitaker.
Well, the Flatirons Food Festival's Dinner and a Movie series continues for Friday night, and this is a really inventive way that they're creating a film festival through this pandemic. Tell us what people can watch and how they can get involved.
Friday night, you can watch this cool documentary called Make Hummus, Not War, which is about the origins of hummus. You can watch that online and order food from Alibaba Grill or Basta or Ashkara, and then do a Zoom Q&A with Joan Nathan, who is pretty much the preeminent Jewish food authority.
Well, if your Zoom meetings are lacking maybe in a little bit of flavor, there's now some new options that are being made available.
Yes, I am available, but if you want to really shake up your Zoom meeting, you can book a llama, an adult goat, or a whole bunch of baby goats to appear from Boulder's Mountain Flower Goat Dairy, and it'll help keep the farm going.
So you basically get Zoom bombed by a baby goat?
I mean, that sounds good to me.
That sounds good to me, too. Well, you're going to be hosting a virtual chocolate tasting. Do tell us more.
Well, I'm actually going to taste the chocolate, but the get-together will be virtual. I'm leading an artisan bean-to-bar chocolate tasting on Zoom on Mother's Day afternoon through the Boulder bookstore. We're going to taste chocolate, talk about it, and it should be hilarious.
Well, there's going to be more information about that at the website for the Boulder Bookstore. Now, the best thing that you have been cooking for yourself this week?
I pulled out the waffle iron, and you should too. I used cornbread mix, and I decided to make it savory with garlic and Parmesan cheese, and I served it with poached eggs, and it was just lovely.
Well, you can find John's collection of Boulder restaurant recipes published 30 years ago at his blog. That's johnlendorf.wordpress.com.
And don't forget that the CSU Extension is offering free gardening classes online in May.
Lots of food news, and some of it really good. So thank you, John. Look forward to catching up with you from your kitchen next Thursday.
Take care.
Oh, do have a bagel, bagel. Now don't be so bashful, Nashville. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. There, you get the cherry, Jerry. Now look, don't be so picky, Mickey. 'Cause everybody eats when they come to my house. All of my friends are welcome. Don't make me coax you, moax you. Eat the tables, the chairs, the napkins, who cares? You gotta eat if it chokes you. Oh, do have a knish, knishia. Ask him the latke, matke. Chili con carne for Barney. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Face, Buster, Cher, Chops, Fump. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
And you can catch John Lendorf Thursday mornings live from his kitchen right here on KGNU.